Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to dive into what we left off with yesterday. We were kind of talking about, I believe, the strategies. And so a progressive strategy, or a common progressive strategy that they like to use, is label lynching. They like to be, you know, they'd like to call you racist. They want to call you a xenophobe. They want to call you a homophobe, Islamophobe. They want to label you so that then they can create a stigma about you. And so it's time we start actually labeling these communists. What's so bad about being a communist? I mean, everybody's a communist nowadays. And there's probably some truth to that, or I should say too many people are communists these days. But what we want to do is we kind of want to talk about how to control the narrative and how to, you know, start creating these labels that basically suits the progressives. I mean, it lines up with precisely what they're all about. And so before we do that, let me just say this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that goes into the actual solutions. I mean, who isn't looking for a solution these days? I mean, well, I can tell you, if you're watching Fox News, if you're watching Newsmax, if you're watching One American News or any of these news channels that are conservative, they may make you feel good. They may give you some information that, yeah, that I feel better. But not one of them is really prescribing a real solution. And so here I've got a question for you. The fact is, because the way things are going, it almost seems like, and it actually it does seem like, we are living in a democracy. This is why the left is getting less and less tolerant regarding the Electoral College. And this is why the left is going to try to actually pull off a democratic revolution. So what if Biden wins? What if he wins? What if they actually, now, doesn't mean he legitimately wins. I don't believe Biden can legitimately win. I believe the only way he will win is through cheating, through packing the ballot boxes with voter fraud, election fraud, any and every way he can, throwing out Trump votes and so forth. But what if he does win? I am telling you that they're going to try to pull off a democracy move that literally ranks up there with what Lenin and what all the other Bolshevik revolutions ended up doing. They ended up putting aside their government and they formed their new government. If you listen to everything Biden has been talking about during that debate, and as he talks in his campaign, he's talking about literally creating a whole new government where there is zero limits to the federal government. That man has no care, no regard. He may use the Constitution as a dirty word, and he may try to hide behind it, but he is the most vulnerable to it. Now, the bottom line is Trump should have Obama, Biden, and all of the rest of these men labeled as traitors and actually make them ineligible. I was talking to a politician the other day, and they said, you know, if one person starts using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, then the next, you know, the bad guy, like Biden, he'll get in and he'll start using it as a weapon too. And I'm going, well, as long as he's legitimately removing people that are violating the Constitution, I'm okay with that. But I think their point was, is that these guys will try to start making up their own rules as they go along, as you know, how they like to do in their yard, their backstreet shuffles or scuffles. That kind of reminds me of the debate, how they just scuffled about like they were out on the street. I will give Trump credit. I mean, at least Trump wasn't the first one to be throwing those insults and the jabs out there. Kind of glad he stood up to him, but it got to a point where, I mean, Joe was just literally acting like a buffoon, and Trump, I think he lowered himself down to that. As a matter of fact, I think he should have started working with Wallace, even though Wallace was kind of in his corner. I should say kind of in Biden's corner. But anyway, let me get you to think, what if Biden wins? I will tell you, Republic Review will be probably the most popular. It should be the most popular word in your vocabulary. Because everything they're talking about doing, everything Biden wants to pull off, is all violations of the Constitution. And I'm telling you, they don't care. The only people that we need to get into the room and start caring about the Constitution are our state legislators. That's why they're so important. Now, as you know, we're also, you know, growing our ranks. I was just looking, and we're actually popping up in a higher listenership, I guess. Our percentages are rising, and I owe that to you. So I want to give you my appreciation. I know that there's all sorts of great entertainment out there. I am not the best, nor do I care to be the best, but I do care to be the most right, the most correct, the most on spot as far as what we have to do, what's going on, and where this is all leading. You know, everybody knows where it's leading, but not one person has an actual solution. There are people out there that are, let's just say, championing the Convention of States. They're championing something that actually serves them but does not solve the problem. Remember, our Constitution doesn't need amending. Our Constitution needs to be complied to per the terms and definitions as set during the ratification debates. That's how Madison put it. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening. And we just ask that you continue to get your neighbors, your like-minded friends, to start at least drinking from the well, at least coming in and tuning in so that they can understand Republic Review. They can understand the Constitution. This is why we actually go through, we read the Constitution. I know that's not very entertaining. We read the ratification debates. That's not entertaining either. But I will say this, that if you download these broadcasts or podcasts that we put up, you download those and you actually can create your own little library. It's almost like having somebody read the Federalist Papers to you, but much better. I see all sorts of people reference and point to the Federalist Papers like, you know, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm here to tell you that the Federalist Papers are just insightful letters. That's all they are. They have no weight. They have no weight in comparison to the ratification debates. Why? Because the ratification debates were the actual words that these men used as they were arguing the merits and what this line meant and what that line meant. The ratification debates are the terms and definitions of the Constitution as they laid them out in that process. I'm telling you, in all aspects of contract law, the ratification debates are legal appendages to that Constitution. That's why we go through them. That's why they're so important. If you understand the importance of reading scriptures on a regular basis, it's the same thing with the ratification debates. If you want to understand what the Ten Commandments, what the commandments, what we need to be doing, you have to read the scriptures. If you want to understand the terms and definitions of the Constitution, what the government's supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing, You have to read the ratification debates. It really comes down to that. Anyway, so let me kind of jump forward, because where we left off is in the process of identifying narratives. And so for the sake of those people who usually tune out early, I want to repeat these because these are very important. What are these narratives? These narratives are the label lynching that we need to do to start identifying who the communists are, what they're all about, what they do. What we need to define them, and I believe as they've defined us as racist when we're not. But somehow the whole world believes it. They've hoodwinked, or, you know, they've nodded and said, yeah, these guys are racist without any evidence. But they get away with label lynching. And I've seen people get decimated. They've lost everything because they were label lynched. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to work on putting some memes out there for social media. We will be posting these on Mobius Strip Press page. So if you want to go to the Mobius Strip Press page, like that, follow that. And when we put the memes up, and as a matter of fact, we don't put posts up all the time. We do not bore you with all the nuances of every day. Did you hear this? Did you hear this briefing? Did you hear what Trump said? That's not what we're about. We're about giving you meat. We're about giving you the concrete information necessary in trying to save our Constitution. And some of those things is getting the right state legislators on board, as we did in these past primaries. But what we're going to do is we're going to be getting back to these memes when we come back from this break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be back with the narratives that will win right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so let's just say that we've got these narratives, and what we want to do is we want to create memes based on these. Now, some of these may be a little bit hard to can, like the party of hypocrisy. I know there's hypocrisy everywhere. But when it comes to using the words freedom, when it comes to using the words choice and those types of things, it's very hypocritical of the left. And so we're going to create, and you can go ahead and run with this. What we want to do is get people to start looking at the Democratic Party as the party of hypocrites, the party of hypocrisy. You've heard me rail on this quite a bit, how the rock and roll revolution or the counterculture revolution of the 60s, and how they were all, it was all about freedom, man. Unplugging from the government and doing your own thing and tuning out and tuning in. Actually, I think it's tune out and turn on. Anyway, the whole point of this concept of hypocrisy is to call them out, because these guys are the champions for socialism. These guys are the champions of big government, subjugating and becoming controlled by government in every aspect of our lives. How hypocritical is that? We need to call these guys out for the hypocrites that they are. The Democratic Party, the leftists, are hypocrites. They talk about, oh, well, we want to have choice. Like, you know, a woman should have a choice if she wants to keep a baby or not. Well, see, it all depends on the choice, because there's certain choices you can make, but there's other choices absolutely not. So I think what we want to do is we want to start labeling them as the party of hypocrisy. The next thing, and this thing I believe is going to stick, is the party of shutdown. Stop doing it. We're going to come in and we will control everything. Bottom line, that's what this shutdown is. That's what this whole concept that they've been throwing at us is all about. It's all about control. Oh, well, you can't go to work. You can't go to church. You can't do anything until we come along and make it so that you can be safe. And they're the ones that'll determine whether you're being safe or not. That is the party of shutdown. They've shut down your businesses. They've shut down your religious rights. They've shut down your ability to do things. They've shut down production. There are many things. I mean, why is it that you can't get soft soap? Why is it we can't get sanitation wipes and those types of things? They have shut us down. They're the ones that actually have decimated our economy. They've decimated us in so many different ways. And they did it all unconstitutionally. They don't have the power in the Constitution to do these things. Even if your state governor has emergency powers, their emergency powers do not trump your constitutionally protected freedom. Anyway, the party of destruction. We just started covering this when we had to basically go yesterday. But if you look at the party of destruction, the party of protest, the party of poor land management, so we have nothing but fires every year. They are the party of destruction. These concepts that came along in taking away these state land and making it federal land. And as a matter of fact, if you've never seen pictures, it's a stark contrast between state managed property and federal managed property. I saw these pictures. I thought it was, you know, somebody was playing a game or something that they went in and actually colored or tinted it. But it was actually a real depiction of the difference between the national forest or the unconstitutional forest and the state forests. If you want to start creating a narrative, then let's start labeling them as the party of destruction. They've been destroying our forests by failing to manage them. They've been destroying our cities and our communities because they've allowed unconstitutional protests. Everything that they're doing is unconstitutional, my friends. Everything that they're doing. So they are the party of destruction. They are the party that wants to control every facet of life. In other words, they're just not happy with how much water you can flush down your toilet. They're not just happy about how bright your bulbs are going to be. They want to be able to control everything. They want to make sure that you take their vaccines. They want to make sure that you do everything they tell you to do. And if you don't, there will be consequences. That's what they are. They are the party. They're the party that wants to control every facet of our lives. They're the party of control. It's all about control for them. They're the party. Here's the next really good one. They're the party of open borders. They believe that people that don't live here have more of a right to your streets, to your community, and to your job than you do. They believe that we have to be global citizens, and they believe that we have to open ourselves up so that we become the land of lost culture, because that's what's really happening. It's all about losing our culture. And we actually have an obligation in protecting our paradigm of liberty, because people that are coming here, that are getting these handouts, that's what they believe freedom is handouts. That's not freedom. Freedom has a cost. And those who have studied their history understand just how high that price is. So the meme that we're trying to promote at this point is the party of open borders. They definitely do not want anybody to have to, you know, go through. As a matter of fact, I was just listening to some old 60s songs and Immigration Man. It was a Graham Nash song. I don't know if the Hollies, I think it was Graham Nash. But it was all about let me in, immigration man, you know, having these huge forms and just let me in. That's how long these open border concepts have been around. This is not just something that they've dreamed up. They have been using the same strategies for years and years and years. The next one, or the next meme, is the party of social engineering. When it comes down to manipulating people and manipulating outcomes and everything else, they are the party of social engineering. If you look at all of these programs that we've talked about, from open borders, DACA, I mean, they're the ones that are coming out with this crap. They're coming out with these concepts of, oh, well, you know, we're going to give you more welfare if you're not married so that we can make sure that your kids grow up in a fatherless home. That way you can get more money. They've been doing this crap since the 60s, and it's all been done by the Democratic Party. So, you know, Johnson was the one, what was it, the Great Society. Johnson was the one that gave us all of these modern day welfare. He opened up all these unconstitutional doors of welfare. The next thing that we want to actually label them is that they are the party of parenting and family, and family. In other words, they're the takeover of parenting, and they want to take over your family. If you read Hillary's book, It Takes a Village, I've went into details on this. Go read it yourself. Do not buy her book. They have more than enough copies. One of the ways that the Clintons have been able to, you know, launch a book and have high sales to where they go straight into becoming a number one is that the libraries buy a few copies of her book, not just one. Go down to your local library and find out how many copies It Takes a Village and just check one of them out. And then you can read for yourself how Hillary wants to assign a social worker as soon as a woman is stupid enough to go to term and have a baby. She wants to make sure a social worker is there so that you take all of your prenatal medication and vitamins and everything else. And then you get a different social worker once you have the child, once you've born that child, so somebody can be there to make sure that you know how to swaddle it and to you know, feed it and change its diapers and to do all these things that you've maybe never done before. And most importantly, as she puts in her book, she wants to make sure that you don't fill this child's head with a bunch of religious dogma so that this child becomes a radical religious right. Are you kidding me? This is where the Department of Parent, or actually Department of Babysitting, comes in. And it will be the government parents that will run this, because that's what they want to do. They want to control every facet of our lives. When I say every facet, I'm not leaving a stone unturned here. They want to take over parenting. They want to take over the family, period. And this runs right down the Marx and Engels Communist Manifesto, where even Marx and Engels admitted that they had to destroy the family so that the state would take over, that there would be biological parents, but that would be it. As soon as the child was old enough to start being able to put into, you know, what they call community schools and those types of things, then the child would be better off because then it couldn't learn anything of its heritage. And I don't know if you understand how screwed up that is because, oh, well, you know, there are certain things, and we call those medical conditions, that are actually hereditary. There's a lot of things that are hereditary that gets completely lost in that system. But that's not the primary reason why they want to do this. They want to do this so that they can control the information that is being fed these children so that they become better government, better puppets for the government, I should say. We'll be right back with a few more of these, and then we'll get into some marketing to wrap it all up. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the next one, because we just covered the takeover party, the takeover parenting, and the takeover the family party, this next one, I believe, is you should be able to run with this. The party of division and the party of divisive tactics. When it comes to trying to divide people, the Democrats are right there as the primary cheerleader. They like to say Black Lives Matter. Well, that's divisive. That's exclusive. There's nothing inclusive about Black Lives Matter. All Lives Matter is inclusive. Black Lives Matter is exclusive. They try to make it, and they want you to really believe that there is no justice because of systemic racism. That's not there's no truth to that. As a matter of fact, Larry Elders, he's the best I've heard articulate how out of most of these cities, such as Baltimore, such as Minneapolis, the mayors of those cities, and I believe even the prosecuting attorneys are Black. How is it that they can't have justice? How is it that the victims can't have their day in court, or at least have them represented in court so that justice can be served. They don't care about justice. They want excuses to be able to, let's just say, they want to imbue fear. They want you to become afraid to even go out because everybody's mad at you. How dare you be white? What? In America? How dare you be an American? There you go, because that's what they're trying to do. They are the party of division and divisive tactics. One of the things that they're throwing out is reparations. They're actually trying to create legs to the concept of reparations. This goes to show how far they are outside the boundaries of the Constitution, how little they know about the Constitution. How about this one? Because this just follows the whole concept of reparations. The party of ex post facto laws. The party of bills of attainder laws. How about that? What's an ex post facto law? Well, it was legal up until all of a sudden a certain point where now they're making it illegal and they're coming after you. That's an ex post facto law. You have property and you have a well. Well, we're going to make having wells illegal. That's exactly what they've been doing, my friend, especially on the West Coast and in the heartland. They're taking away farmers and the people who are living on property their right to be able to have a well. An ex post facto law is something that comes along and says, okay, even though that was legal, we're now making it illegal. The framers understood the danger of allowing ex post facto laws. That's why it's in the Constitution, not just for the federal government, but for the state governments as well. States and the federal government cannot pass ex post facto laws or bills of attainder. They can't pass a bills of attainder, which basically creates this carte blanche, stigma towards a towards a race, a group of people, or like Catholics or the Boy Scouts or so forth. That all of a sudden they make a bill of attainder that you now can't be free if you're a Boy Scout or if you're a member of an organization. You are a suspect. You're a bad person. You are breaking the law like white men. Well, that's a bill of attainder. And our school systems actually teaching that it's okay to have a bill of attainder if you're, to hate or go after white men. But that's the type of party they are. They're a party of ex post facto laws and they're a party of bills of attainder. They are also the party of fraud. They love doing things that they have no business doing. They love election fraud. They love financial fraud. They create programs so they can spend money on it. It's all fraud. They're the party of fraud. And they love manipulating votes. They love manipulating people. They're the party of manipulation. Folks, these are some ideas that I really believe anybody can get out there and run with these. I believe, and what we want to do is we want to actually kind of create some memes for you so that you understand, how to put these things into context, or you can go ahead and make them yourself. I know some people that do some really good job with memes. Just keep it short, keep it pithy. As a matter of fact, you could just leave those labels out there. The Democrats are the party of divisiveness. The Democrats are the party of ex post facto laws. Make somebody think, well, what the heck is ex post facto law? Sometimes it's important that maybe they just don't get it that quickly. Sometimes you got to want, it's kind of like sometimes we can use a word that makes it easy to say something like, I get up and leave abruptly. I'm going to get up and just leave and not say anything. Well, there's a word for that. Absquatulate. And so you can absquatulate or you can write down, hey, I'm going to be leaving right now real quick. And then the amount of time it took you to say that, you could have said, I've absquatulated. Anyway, let's get into a few other things. I want you to understand that the mainstream and social media is firing all guns at this point, and it is going to be like this all the way to the election. They're out there censoring the truth, and they're posting fake news, and they're labeling the truth as fake. I mean, these fact checkers are deliberately mislabeling. They are the culprits of manipulation. America, we are in the throes of the Bolshevik Revolution, and all holds bar. No holds are barred, I should say. All holds barred. No holds barred. One of the things that's out there is this this concept of the reparations coming out of California. As a matter of fact, I believe Gavin Newsom just signed a law that California is going to pursue reparations. Well, you know, California was really never a slave state. They may have become a state during the Union, but it was like the twilight point. They were not forced to become a slave state like Missouri and other states. They were too far away. But the question is, who is it that they're going to pay reparations to? And bottom line, if they pay reparations, they are creating an ex post facto law. In other words, they're rewarding somebody for doing something that was actually legal, and now they're punishing people because the laws changed. It makes no sense. And what I'm here to tell you is that it's more important to start understanding the limitations of the Constitution. And, oh, by the way, the Constitution limits the states from doing this. And with Newsom actually signing that law, I mean, this guy is brazen in violating the Constitution because he just doesn't care. He doesn't get it, and he doesn't care. He is the king of California. And he's going to do whatever he believes he is necessary. He's going to do what he wants. And he's going to make you do these things, whether you like it or not. I'm just telling you that if you start looking at what he's doing, he's violating the Constitution, and you need to get, I can't believe we can't get anybody right now to actually stand up and say, hey, give us a petition to call out Newsom so that we can get rid of him. I need to get Bob to just start creating a few of these petitions to going after some of these state governors and some of these city mayors and city councils and so forth who are violating the Constitution and their oath of office by supporting these insurrections and unconstitutional laws. So one other thing I wanted to talk about, because I think McChrystal came out and is backing Biden. Surprise! Is that a big surprise? You're going to find that most military, not field grade, not company grade. And let me see. There's company, field, and then there is, I forget what it's called. You got the general officers and all of that that have the scrambled eggs on their bills and on their shoulders and so forth. Those are the guys that are the politics, and they're in the politics of the military. When it comes to the higher the rank of a military officer, the higher probability that this person is a communist or has the tendencies, let's call them communistic tendencies, that they believe that we're better off compelling people to do things than getting them to do them on their own, or giving people freedom to do whatever they want to do. Or what kind of world is that? Then we'll have people doing just what makes them feel good and what they want to do. Oh, no, we can't have that. We have to have people constantly being watched and supervised to make sure they do what they're supposed to do and they do it on time. And then we'll give them a brownie and we'll give them social credits. That's just like the Chinese. That is exactly what the Chinese have implemented. This is why I always upset my military friends who, you know, I myself being in the military, understand that the perfect form of communism is the U.S. military. Why? Because it is voluntary. You have so much time to make up your mind. And if you want to stay in the communist state, you stay in. But when you get out, you're no longer held to becoming a slave to the state. Because I'm telling you, it's for the good of the Corps. It's for the good of the country. That's exactly what they do and why they do it. Anyway, we've got a break. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, now back into some marketing. And just to be clear, we do not do marketing for entertainment purposes. We call it marketing because we want you to just realize how bad things really are and then poke you in the eye and say, what's it going to take to get you to stand up and do something? So follow this. Now, this is G. Everett Griffin, and this is some horrendous stuff. Holly Zoller, a bail disruptor, quote unquote, for the Soros-linked bail project, rented and drove a U-Haul truck and handed out shields to potential rioters in Louisville. The Bail Project is an organization that opposes cash bail and claims that paying bail for those in jail is an act of resistance against a system that criminalizes race and poverty. Not the acts that you are doing that are uncivil and violations of the law. No, it's just that the fact that you were arrested and have to post bail means that it's a racist society. Like I said, follow this here. At least two employees of the Bail Project are or were Soros Justice Fellows. In June, Jack Dorsey teamed up with Rihanna's Clara Lionel Foundation to donate $11 million to organizations that advance racial equity with a focus on criminal justice and policing reform. Okay? So Soros, and who's this? Jack Dorsey? He's the CEO of Twitter. Social media, right? Where the truth can be heard. Anyway, the Bail Project was a recipient of these funds along with Black Lives Matter. The board of directors for the Bail Project, which pays to bail out people who destroy U.S. cities and attack police, including Michael Novogratz a financier, and Lisa Gersh, a high-level media executive. Advisors include British billionaire Richard Branson, actor Danny Glover, and singer John Legend. Essentially, the Bail Project pays the bail for people who destroy U.S. cities and attack police, who literally are insurgents. Tucker Carlson suggested that the wealthy are supporting riots to portray America's core problem as racial, but the real problems in the U.S. are economic control by a small number of wealthy people, and I disagree. I think the real problem in America is that government is so far out of its bounds that the government has basically created these protections for all of these bad player corporations, people like Zuckerberg and Dorsey and so forth, Gates. They're all benefactors from corporate protection, or I should say government protection for corporations. The fact that Trump, only pays so much money in his taxes is the same thing as Zuckerberg. And what about Bezos? Bezos and Amazon didn't pay any taxes. And yet he's lauded as a hero, as a champion for human rights. Are you kidding me? Anyway, let's move on. But sticking with Louisville, the heartland of America, Lorenzo Johnson, 26, was arrested and charged with 2 counts of assault on a police officer and 14 counts of wanton endangerment for allegedly shooting 2 cops during a Black Lives Matter riot. Shooting 2 cops! The officers were reported to have non-life-threatening injuries. I hope that guy goes away, if you know what I mean. Anyway, sticking with Louisville, because obviously, and you'd think that Portland and Seattle are leading it. Folks, Louisville is way too volatile. Louisville, Kentucky, Michael E. Rhines Jr. was arrested for killing 3 people, including 2 white men and 1 black man, who were shot to death in a bar. Rhines was wearing a Justice for Breonna Taylor shirt at the time of the killing. Breonna Taylor was killed by Louisville police during a, quote, knock and announce, close quote, raid during which her boyfriend shot at police. Rhines was reported to have made several posts on social media in support of Black Lives Matter. The mainstream media appears to be ignoring this story because it runs counter to their narrative. Are you surprised? I'm just showing you that there's all of this crap is going on, and this is just Louisville. California passed, oh, by the way, if you've got kids, don't even go to California, don't go to Disneyland. California passed a law allowing an adult who has sexual relations with a child of the same sex of age 14 or older to stay off of the sex offenders registry list if the sexual activity was consensual and the adult is less than 10 years older than the minor. Essentially, SB 145 allows a 24-year-old to have sex with a 14-year-old and escape a felony conviction and the requirement to be a registered sex offender. Critics are concerned about children being groomed for sex abuse, and they question whether a 14-year-old minor has the capacity to consent to sexual activity. Now, they're already having that dialogue. They've had this dialogue for a long time. Whether a 14-year-old has the mental capacity and the maturity to be able to have consensual sex. Well, hold on. Why is it that fourth graders are being taught and being, what's a good word for it? Why is it that the education system is persuading, 8 and 10-year-old kids to self-identify either as a homosexual, a bisexual, a transgender, or what have you. They want kids to play with themselves. They want kids to become sexually active so that they can self-identify. And however it is they're going to identify, the school system is going to promise that they will protect that identity. So regardless of whether your parents don't like you or not, we will still love you. Folks, we've had this conversation for 2-3 years now, and I've been telling you that the school system is out to pervert and get your children addicted to all sorts of behavior that is destructive to not just themselves, but to our society. Why are we allowing this? They said, you know, you hear, you know what? It really, it bothered me when I heard Trump say we wanted to get these schools open. As far as I see it, the schools are the land of child abuse. This is where kids are being perverted, being twisted in ways that they shouldn't ever have to be addressing these types of things. I wish we could go back to a point in time where these perverse ideas and these types of repugnant behavior, not was suppressed, but it was so uncommon, nobody even heard of it. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, my, are you kidding? Why would somebody do that? I mean, those are the types of conversations that we used to have a long, long, long time ago. Anyway, so we're running out of time here. You know about the gang of rogue officers. If you haven't, there is a gang of people that are in the Compton Station. They're called the Executioners. They have tattoos. They were talking about really bad people that have gotten into the police force. The Executioners gang is believed to comprise as much as 40% of the Compton Sheriff Department. Did you hear about this? Now, if you haven't heard, the two LA sheriff deputies who were ambushed in their cruiser recently from the Compton station and had only been on the job for just over 1 year, the shooter has not been caught despite the $300,000 reward and massive amount of resources that could be deployed to find the gunman who may be a dwarf. A county document listed dozens of cases since 1990 related to deputy gangs, including the Vikings, the Regulators, the Jump Out Boys, the 3000 Boys, and the Banditos, that have led to nearly $55 million in court judgments and settlements, and a number of cases that are still pending. So I know those of us that, you know, want to use a broad brush, there are places that have become so corrupt in law enforcement that it is, you know, it's a den of thieves. And there is no honor among thieves, if you haven't heard. But there are places that aren't necessarily completely corrupt or even corrupt at all. I do know that our society has been corrupt, and so you can't expect these types of things from creeping into your, you know, your boardroom, into your local law enforcement, into your churches, and into these, into every aspect of society, because when society becomes corrupt, it rots throughout. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. In our next episode, we will be getting into the amendments of the Constitution. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.